greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Glad to be here this morning. Glad to be back from the cold, cold north. You all have real privileges back here that you don't realize, maybe. We were up there 20 degrees during the day and supposed to be, I think, in the next couple of days, down around 5, maybe a little lower. And a big blizzard coming in, so we got ahead of the blizzard and had made it back in time. There was coming down through South Dakota, or North Dakota, I guess it was. There was some snow along the roads, but it was all off of the roads. So we got back down into Missouri, and all of a sudden the green grass reappeared, and the beautiful leaves on the trees back up there. The prettiest thing was the evergreens, but there were no leaves on the trees. And so we were glad to be back home. I'd like to read, if you'd like to follow along with us, over in 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. Second Kings, the 4th chapter. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." And then he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all the neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and thou live, thou and thy children, of the rest." Let's just bow our heads today. Our Father, we come with grateful hearts to thee this morning for the mercy of God, for what all that thou hast done for each one of us that are gathered here. We thank thee, Lord, for the word of God that we can read and know that it is the solid rock that will stand through the storms of time, the storms of life. Lord, we're thankful that the rock will never move, and that if we are grounded upon the rock, that we can also stand, our house will stand even during the times of storm. We pray that thou will just be with us today and help us, Lord, to recognize the power of God, and that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank thee for thy mercy this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. A mighty miracle was worked in this chapter. I've always marveled at this incident, and then even if you want to turn over and you read in the next couple of chapters, you'll find some more mighty miracles that God has performed. Here we have a woman that she'd come to the end of herself. Her husband was dead, and her creditors now were coming in on her and getting ready to make her sons their bondmen. And her heart was crushed, no doubt. And thankfully, she knew where to go. She went to the man of God. She went to the prophet. She didn't go to a false prophet. She didn't go to a worshiper of Baal. She went to a man who was a prophet of the Most High, the mighty God that we serve today. And you think of this scripture, you think, well, wouldn't this be wonderful if something like this could happen? We could just pay all of our debts off. We could just do this. We could just do that. But you know, the Lord is working in our own lives in the very same way. Sometimes we don't even recognize the hand of God. I was thinking as we were getting ready to leave the motel up there, we were getting everything rounded up. If we keep going on these trips like this, I think we'll get to where we'll be pretty good travelers. I don't know. You think everything goes just in so, we have everything in a certain place, and we're sort of getting a little bit organized. I told my wife something about, well, where are we going in December? We're not going anywhere, but, you know, I said, if we go anywhere, we sure don't want to go north. We might as well go south. Well, we could go to Belize. And she said, well, Esther would like that. We decided, well, Belize is no further than it is to Oregon, so, but that's just talking because we're not planning to go anywhere. Anyway, as we were getting ready to leave, we had another thing to think about than just putting our bags in, getting everything around. All of a sudden it dawned on us, now where did we put those passports? You've got to have those passports anymore. Used to, you could go across the Canadian border and there was no problem. You didn't have to have a passport. But you do have to have a passport now. And so we tried very much to protect them. A lot of times when I'm out of the country, I actually will carry mine in my pocket. And I think, well, if they get me, then I don't need a passport anyway. But if they get in my car and they steal the passport, then I'm done for. And if they get in the cabin and steal it, I'm done for. And so we had carried the passports in our little deal between the seats that you open up. We kept them in there until we crossed the line into Canada. And then when we got there that night, we thought, now we don't want to leave those passports out there in the car. Because something might happen. A lot of these motels have signs up say they are not responsible for any stolen things or anything. So it does happen that things are stolen at times. So we brought those passports in, and I took them, and we looked all around. Where are we going to put them? You know, a lot of times if they steal something, they'll grab a suitcase that has a computer in it, they'll grab something else, and if you go put them in there, they're gone. And you don't want to take them to bed with you. They're pretty important. Because we didn't really want to stay in Canada. It was nice. It was nice being there. It was a very beautiful country. But it's nothing like the Ozarks down here. And you can see I'm prejudiced. But anyway, to show how God answered prayer, this scripture just laid it out so perfectly, how that she came to the man of God and she came with nothing. She felt like she didn't have a thing. He said to her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? What do you have in there? What can you give to the Lord? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house. And then she thought, we'll save a pot of oil. And it reminded me of Moses back there when God said, what is that in thy hand? And I'd like to put that out to you this morning. What is that in your hand? What do you have that you can simply give into the hands of the Lord? You may say, well, I'm not talented this way, and I'm not talented that way, and I'm not a good singer, and I'm not a good speaker, and I'm not a good teacher. And that's what Moses thought. He felt the very same way. And the Lord said, who is it that made your tongue or your mouth? Who is it that made this? But I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. And the Lord was angry with Moses. And so he gave him Aaron to be his spokesman. And he had chose Moses to be the leader. But he asked him that question, what do you have in your hand? And you know, folks, this morning we have something in our hand that is more precious than gold. The disciples, wasn't it? They said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give we thee. And he took him by the hand and raised him up, and his joints, everything was back in shape. And he had something that he would a lot rather had than gold or silver anyway. And we have something that is more precious than a big bank account, than a fancy car, than a fancy home, than all the other things that the world can give you. We have contact with God. And it is amazing that I can't get on the phone and call Barack Obama and say, "This is Stephen Burke from Byler Building Supply down here in Seymour, Missouri." Where's Seymour, Missouri? I know where Missouri is and never heard of Seymour. I don't know who you are. Well, I wouldn't even get that far because he wouldn't let me talk to him. But I can go far over his head. You've heard people talk about going over somebody's head in the business. I can't get something done there, so I'm going to go over their head, and I'm going to the one that owns the business. Well, we can go over the president's head or over whatever, and we can talk to the ruler of the universe. The ruler of the universe. Do you believe that? I'm convinced it's true, because there we were in our little cabin. We got everything else ready and ready to leave, and there were no passports. And I said, "Well, you remember? I told you, I said last night, now I'm sticking this in here under this," and I couldn't tell you where "in here" was, and I couldn't tell you what "under this" was. "But you're my wife. You remember now. Remember." Well, she didn't remember, and I didn't remember, and we couldn't figure out where those passports were. But we about decided in our minds, we're not leaving this place till we have the passports, because we'll probably have to come back and find out that we've left them somewhere in this cabin. And we were getting desperate. You know, sometimes a place of desperation is a good place for a Christian. When they realize how little they really are, and how little you can do, and how little I can do, and it's completely out of my control, and the props are knocked completely out from under me, and I have nowhere else to go, why do we have to get so flat on our backs before we look up and say, "Lord, I need thy help"? Well, we were there. And all of a sudden, while I was in, my wife had looked through all kinds of cases, and I'd looked through them all again, and she's out there looking in the car, and I was looking around in the cabin, and we were looking and searching, and just to the place of despair. It just all of a sudden come to my mind. I remember that I said, "Now I'm going to put it in here." I had a Bible in one of my cases, and I'm going to raise this Bible up, and I'm going to stick these passports underneath this Bible, put it down, and zip it shut. And they're underneath that Bible. Now you remember where they are. Neither of us did. I walked outside to the car, and I looked at my wife, and I said, "I think I know where they are." And she looked at me like she didn't believe me. But I went right around to the back where we'd already loaded the suitcases. I pulled that thing over, unzipped it, raised the Bible up, pulled the passports out. There they were. It was an answer to prayer, a direct answer to prayer. Somebody maybe said that was just a little. Oh, that strengthened our faith a whole lot. It is wonderful to know that God still answers prayer, and he does it for you, and he does it for me. And we can know that we can get a hold of the ruler of the universe if we come to him in contrition and brokenness and realizing our need. God still hears, and he answers prayer today. A little bit after that, we were in another cabin, I guess it was. It was that evening. My wife said, "Well, in the evening, it sort of was nice that she could take her camera and download her pictures all on the computer and glance at them and see how they turned out, and then maybe send one of them to some of the children back home, sort of show them what it was like." "Where's my camera?" "Can't find my camera." You know, the older you get, the more forgetful you get, and the more trouble sometimes, but the more that you need the Lord. But you need him when you're young, too. Couldn't find the camera. And we looked, and we looked, and we looked. The same old story. Look, and both of us looking. And what happened? Was it laying on the side when you opened the door? Did it fall out someplace? Where is it laying? Is it gone? Is the camera gone? And as she was looking around there, And we just completely give up. Nothing you can do. Don't have a camera. Can't download any pictures. That's it. And when we came to the end of ourselves, and that song many times, that's where we got to get. The end of ourselves, she had a little bag sitting there, a little carry-on kind of a thing. And she just opened it up to get something out. Ah, there it is. And she raised it up with this smile on her face and a smile all the way down. You could tell it. This is what God had done again. He had answered prayer for us. Just to think that the ruler of the universe would answer prayer for us, who are we? Nothing. But he cares about every one of us today. But it seems like sometimes we have to come to the end of ourselves, like this poor lady hid here. But when she obeyed God, she did something that was unusual. You know, she could have said, well, I just have this little bit of oil, and that's all we have, and I'm not going to try something radical. I'm not going to try something outlandish. That's unheard of. Why should I borrow all these vessels and make a laughing stock out of myself? But no, she wasn't that way. She said, the old prophet said, borrow as many vessels, borrow lots of vessels. And they went out and they borrowed from the neighbors and they got all the vessels in. And can you imagine what it would be like to be standing there as one of the children watching mama, mother, with that little old vessel with a little bit of oil in the bottom of it. And there she started in, pouring it out. You know, what's this going to do? I got a little bit here in the bottom of this little old vessel, and they brought in all these big vessels. You know, am I just going to pour it in here? It'll be in there instead of here. And so it starts pouring it in there. And I can't imagine these things. I try to figure them out in my mind. Do you ever try to figure out how it was like for Jesus passing out the fish and the loaves? To that many people, 5,000 or 4,000 people, and he would start passing them out. They must just keep coming up in the basket, or as he broke it off, it must have kept, you could have almost seen it shoot out. It'd have to go pretty fast. It's just amazing. And then she poured, and it just kept running out of this little vessel that she had into that great big vessel, and poured until the thing came to the top. She grabbed it and turned it over here and started pouring in there. And that one came to the top. And she was probably getting more excited as she kept a pouring, just like we were, until all of them, she'd bring me some more. But that was all there was, and the oil stayed. And that was the God that we study, is the God we serve today. He's still alive, he still reigns, and he's still able to help you, and he's still able to help me. What is that that's in thy hand? What little do you have? Give it to God. Just give it all to him. The little widow gave her mite, and it was more than all the rich men and all the things they put in, because she gave it all. May the Lord help us that we too might give everything into the hands of the Lord. Let's kneel in prayer.